Good. Well, happy Christmas from me as well, and it's good to be here together on this special morning. I'm absolutely amazed that only one person could come and show us a present, though, and maybe on the way out, if you've got something with you, I'd love to see and know what that was as well. In our last church, I think the children and young people had it sussed, because they realised that because we advertised that the service finishes around 11:15, that the more children who came up to show their presents meant the less time there was for me to speak. So you've got longer for me this morning. So now, especially for guests who are with us, and a special welcome to you. Over these Sundays around Christmas, we've been looking at some of the love songs that people are singing because Jesus was coming and because Jesus has been born. And this morning, we're particularly focusing in on Luke chapter 2 and to the song of the angels as well as the shepherds. We've looked at Elizabeth singing and Mary singing and Zechariah singing. And now we come particularly to this song of the angels. Their glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Only 17 words in the New International Version. It's quite a song, a short song, but it says so much. And one of the questions that we've been sort of lobbing in through this series really is in terms of what of our song? What are we singing and what do we have to sing? I'll come to that in a minute, but here's a question for you. I had a funny experience the other evening, funny in the end, but not at the time, I have to say. I was worshipping with the Chinese church for their carol service, and so it happened that their speaker didn't turn up. And so they looked at me and said, would I say something? So anyway, that's being put on the spot. But what would you be saying? What have you got going on in your heart or in your mind, I wonder, this Christmas time, that would just explain something or be able to praise in terms of a love song for God's gift of his son? Well, as we will see, this is a hymn that is straight out of heaven. Charles Spurgeon said, this is the first Christmas carol, the song of the angel. And I like that. It's a song where all heaven breaks loose. And somehow, in the glory of these angels, we hear and see something visible and audible. It's almost as if heaven cannot contain the glory of what was happening there in Bethlehem. And it's a real contrast with the words of Philip Brooks' carol that we are not going to sing this morning, but we no doubt you have sung already this Christmas. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. That may have been true. But here you have, with all its full volume turned right up, the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Maybe the spelling mistake of the well-known, rather corny poster outside the church says more that is helpful than is not helpful. Dropping that letter E, this song was for the high street. This song was for ordinary man. This is a song for the world. And so as we just for a few minutes this morning look and think about the unrestrained joy that amounts to this climax of the events that night in Bethlehem, extolling the glory of the Godhead, I just simply want to look at this song in Luke chapter 2 and look at it in its context and think of it as the greatest gift the world has ever known, the Lord of history born to us. Karen, go to just a few points. The first is the venue for this song. The venue obviously was Bethlehem, but specifically the fields near Bethlehem. That's where the angels appear to some shepherds, and God is close by. God is watching the events of that night. Now we know, and we've said it on Sunday, we will keep saying it, but Mary and Joseph are there in Bethlehem because of a census that has been ordered by Caesar Augustus. And everyone has had to go to their hometown to register. Now you imagine the movement in the locality around that time. People moving. I don't know if you tried to navigate the high street or through town over the last few days. People everywhere moving. Interestingly, the shepherds are there on the hillsides. perhaps more an indication of that they were the nobodies of their generation. We'll come to them in a minute. But as Mary and Joseph are being shunted around by the political powers of their day, there was no chance to opt out and say or claim, well, my wife is pregnant and unfit to travel. And for those mums here, no doubt you are aware of it, perhaps more than any of us, the hassle when you have to travel with a baby or perhaps nearing the end of your term of pregnancy. And then no place to stay. And Mary's contractions getting stronger by the minute, and an urgency for a place, somewhere safe for the delivery of this baby. We get a sense, as I just say those few sentences, that Jesus was born into a world where there was tyranny, and a sense of dislocation, a sense of being away from the family. We think of John the Baptist's arrival, where he had the family round about and the security of all of that. But not for Jesus. Born away. And perhaps that signpost is correct. Glory to God in the high street. The second one is the audience on that night. And folks, if you have got little ones crying or older ones crying or making noise, don't worry. This is a family service and we go with the noise. But secondly, the audience. See, this is real life. And these lowly shepherds, the poor of Bethlehem. Similarly, it is the angel's appearance to the shepherds, the outcasts of their society. And I know we have sanitized it on our Christmas cards, but these bunch of men, or perhaps maybe women, but shepherds, are watching their flocks, and their home is out in the fields. And we know from what history has told us that these shepherds are the antisocial bunch of their society. They don't fit in to nice conventional norms. They're a dubious bunch, tough, rough. And Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, is where they work and live. I'm so grateful to a friend who gave me this most compelling thought, that these shepherds could well have been the very shepherds who were looking after the lambs on the hillside, ready that would have been used at Jerusalem for the temple sacrifices. That's a lovely thought. I can't prove that to you, but it could well have been that in their job, they were providing the sheep for sacrifice in the temple. And the announcement from heaven to these shepherds is that the one who was going to come and be sacrificed, the Lamb of God, has arrived on this earth. And they received the announcement. The shepherds who looked after the sheep that perhaps were offered as sacrifices. It's there and then the audience that night. Perhaps it started just like any other night, doing what shepherds always did, whatever shepherds do through a night. And suddenly God breaks in. And there's the compelling thought of that. God breaking into this bunch of people. Perhaps you say, God will never break into my life or could never. My friends, he has done. And he will do. And he's a God of surprises. And what we have in the open air concert of that night is light shining in the darkness. The highest, most created, beautiful beings, the angelic host, appear. And who do they appear to? To the lowliest of earth's communities. It's my third point, the glory of the Lord shone around them, Luke says in verse 9. They were terrified. God revealing himself as light. Something glowing, something brilliant, something bright. We know through Old Testament pages how God, when he appears time and time again to a Moses and to an Isaiah and to an Ezekiel, and you can go on. But God, when God shows up, it is bright and there is glory and it is scary. They're overwhelmed. And there's something, I think it was in that last song that we were singing, that combines the fact that this is the God of creation. And here in this baby is the God made man. And there is glory there. A glory that had only been known in heaven and now is known on earth. The glory of the Lord was in that place. And because of the glory there, as it shone round about them, the presence of God revealed, and the message a Saviour has been born, who is Christ the Lord. Not a building this time where God was going to be sort of somehow, is the word, encapsulated in the temple, the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory as it was called. But no, this is the glory of God in human form. I think Charles Wesley says it most profoundly. I was grateful to Judith for reminding me. We're going to sing this one on Sunday. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man, God at work. And no wonder when the angels join in their song, it's all about glory to God. There's something for us in that, in how we live and what we think about. Glory to God. And the final point, the song itself, as the angels sing it and then the shepherds receive it, it's a song to heaven and to earth. Verse 14 in particularly. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. There's the gist as the angels make the connection for the shepherds as well as for us this morning. It's pointing upwards, but it's also pointing outwards. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Just somehow imagine, perhaps can't even take it in fully, the full angelic host here, praising God with that first Christmas carol. You know, that's what angels do, they praise God. And what angels do, we read in Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 7 and right at the end of the Bible, and what they have done and always will do, and we will join them one day in heaven to do. And the significance here is in their message, a message of peace. For having just referred to some of the life issues that would be experienced by a group of Judean peasant shepherds, the outcasts, all that I was saying. What a reversal. In our minds, we associate God with being at the top, and of course he is at the top. God being the best and the most powerful. We expect that it should naturally be to the top people who will be the nearest to God and know most about God. You know, somehow the most respected, cultivated, cultured people. But this song tells us something different, and it's good. That where the lowly are, that's where the Lord reveals himself. They're on those fields, in those fields. God revealing himself in a manger. And they remind us that this is where God shows up. It's very interesting to look at these things with the correct glasses on, to use an expression. But in the Roman Empire at that time, there was what was called the Pax Romana. History books tell us all about it. It was great. There was a peace in the world at that time. But it was a peace that was held together by force, and it was a great peace if you were on the side of the powerful. It helps stability, there's no doubt about it. But here the angels are singing a song about a different sort of peace, not a peace that is somehow held in place. If you do what you're told, then we'll keep the peace. That's called peacekeeping. But shall we call it the Pax Christi? The peace for earth, a peace made through Jesus Christ. See, this Pax Christi for the earth was for those who were dominated by the powers and the oppressive regime of the Romans or whichever other bunch would want to control. It was for people who got nothing out of the empire or nothing out of their government. For here was a new government coming to earth. It was for a world that knew no joy and had nothing to sing about. This peace through Jesus Christ was for a people who desperately needed a saviour. One who was going to come and confront the world and its sin with redeeming power. I don't know how it is for you this Christmas time at the end of a year. It's been a ghastly year for many. 2008 will be one you want to leave behind perhaps. But you know, in Jesus Christ, he was more than a political saviour. He came to bring salvation to redeem men and women, to give a washing, a cleaning up, a new start. I can't think of anything more wonderful to be speaking about this 25th of December 2008. Because it was this, that Jesus came to rescue the powerless, to change what is offensive before a holy God, and to take sin away, and to give life and wholeness and salvation. What was the phrase? To those on whom his favor rests. You know, Christmas Day is often a service full of so many distractions. But I just wonder if maybe in a sentence this morning, something has landed in your heart and in your life for you. That God's favor rests on us. You see, as I bring it all together by zooming in on that aspect of being saved, verse 11 says, a savior has been born to you. It doesn't simply say Christ is born, but he's been born to you. There's the emphasis, that three-letter word, you, Y-O-U. You was the message given and the song to be sung. I bring you good news of great joy. And as these love songs I've been saying, and we will keep looking at them, and on Sunday morning we come to look at Simeon singing a song and Anna singing a song. This love theme of the angels is it was personal for each shepherd. And it's also personal to you and to me. Why? So that we may be saved. Saved from what? Some of you may just be thinking to yourself. We tend not to use that word being saved that much these days. Perhaps you're going through a work situation or a marriage situation that's falling apart and crumbling, or an economic or a financial. I don't know your situation. God does. Do you know the greatest heart of all those family circumstantial issues is the knowledge that we may be saved. The old to be removed, the new to arrive, new life made available so freely in Jesus Christ. That's why they were singing that sin and guilt may be taken away as it would be through the cross years later as Jesus grew older. And then the angels sing, realizing that the Son of God from heaven to earth had come. And the greatest problem that was then on the earth and is now on the earth of sin and sin's corruption has been dealt with in the cross. No wonder it's a message, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's good news of great joy. And we end by verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had just heard, the things which were just as they had been told. They've got a song in their hearts, off their tongues, a spring in their step. They have seen God at work. Have you? We have. And for that we celebrate and praise him.